I believe that we are designed to do great things in God because we are created in his likeness and his image. And he's a great God and an awesome God. And I believe that there's three things in faith. We believe, we speak, and we act. And that's the missing part. We're not acting. We believe. The Apostle Paul says, I believe, and therefore I speak. But Paul acted according to what he believed. And so we're just not acting on things. But there's another little thing, as I think I said last week, was this. Sometimes you can fast and pray and do all these things and looking for the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit and thinking it's the fasting and praying, whatever. I believe strongly it's about believing that you can operate in those things. It's believing. And how are you going to believe? You have to hear. Because how does faith come? Faith comes by believing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. And as the word of the Lord comes, it brings faith to your heart. And it pounds in your little heart. Like last week, there's a few sitting here when I give that tongue. And that you're sitting there with a little heart pounding, knowing that you had some interpretation to go at. But it's just about acting. In fact, like my wife says, she preached on Friday night. It was great. Great time on Friday night down in Shake All Nations. And you said about fear, what was that? Come on, give us the courage and fear, what was that?
Oh, okay, yeah. So courage isn't the absence of fear, it's you simply feeling the fear and doing it anyway.
Feel the fear and do it. There'll always be fear chapping at your door. Just over that stuff. There's always going to be fear. In fact, Jesus dealt with fear 365 times in the New Testament. Now, does that tell you something? How many days in a year? Oh, 365, isn't it? Once per day, he dealt with that stuff. So what he's saying, there'll be fear in your life every single day. But the good news is this. Faith can overcome every single fear. Because the Apostle Paul says this, I haven't given you a spirit of fear. In fact, he was talking to Timothy. Come on, Timothy was a pastor, right? Running a church. You think pastors don't get fearful? Teachers don't get, of course they do. Because fear will chap anybody's door. So Paul's talking to Timothy and he says, listen, Timothy, God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Why was he saying that to Timothy? Because Timothy was starting to fear and obviously doubt about his ability to run the ministry. So Paul was coming back in and speaking faith into his life and speaking the God-breathed spirit of life into his life to give him the ability to rise above the fear. Listen, people, fear is a spirit. Let's just make that clear right now. Fear is a spirit. It's a spiritual force that basically you can't taste it, you can't touch it, but it's there, and it's basically, it can actually, you know, come against your life, and you're wondering why you're fearing. But as Pastor said tonight, guess what? The greater one dwells within you. The greater one dwells within you. The enemy, we've talked about this all the way over in the car tonight. The enemy is defeated. Illuminati and all that junk, right? The enemy is defeated. Jesus was crucified, rose from the dead, and defeated the enemy for you. Our job is to reinforce the victory. That's our job. And so he comes and he gives us tools to reinforce the victory within our lives. So this is what the gifts of the Spirit are. The gifts of the Spirit, they are tools. They are the manifestations of the Holy Ghost to equip you to overcome in crazy situations. When you're struggling. In fact, I was sitting there thinking tonight, listen, that woman talked about, you know, about feelings and all the rest of it. I'm sitting in Scotland, and my daughter at that point in time was probably about 3 years old. Three years old. I'm ready to go to work. I'm sitting having lunch at the table. And all of a sudden, my daughter looked up to me, and she said to me, she says, Dad, a red car in an accident. Right? I looked at her, and I realized it was the Spirit of God. It was the supernatural word of knowledge that was actually, God was actually revealing something to me through my daughter. And that's what I mean by the gifts of the Spirit. It's not according to you how much you pray and how much you do all those things. It's according to believing. And you see, God can work with children. She was around Christian education and in our church. We had our own Christian school around the things of faith, right? And children don't have the same crazy stuff that adults have to deal with as that. They just believe. So God comes upon her and speaks a word through her and tells me, I went to work in a very cautious way. I started praying divine protection. And before I got to work at the roundabout, there was a massive accident right at the roundabout just as I got there. What was I doing? I was taking my time, come back. Who knows, I could have missed the accident by seconds, but I was aware and I started to pray over the whole thing. Supernatural. God gives us tools to bring divine protection into our life. He wants to reveal things supernaturally. So that was the word of knowledge. I was thinking about that tonight. I thought, we need the manifestation. So that was a child at 3-year-old. A 3-year-old. The Spirit of God will move upon our life. But we have to be opened. We have to desire it. We have to pursue Him because it's Him we're talking about. Especially as adults. We have to pursue Him. There's many things that are vying for your attention. Facebook. Talk about this tonight. If you know, you're sitting there hours on Facebook, hours on TV, hours in sports, it could be anything, looking for your attention. We need to take our attention and put it into Him if we really desire to move into things of the Spirit. We have to penetrate God and get serious with God. Because God tells you here in Corinthians, we'll go back into it here, Corinthians 12 again, it says, desire spiritual gifts. Desire spiritual gifts. Well, let me ask you a question. Now, don't put your hand up. I'm just going to just throw this out here. How many people really, if you ask most people, do they desire spiritual gifts? They go, oh, yeah, I desire spiritual gifts. Sure. Sure. A desire is something that rises up within inside you and basically pushes you into that realm. The All Blacks have desire to win. They have desire to win. They want to be the best. They have desire. They pursue. They meditate. They think on what they're doing, the game plans. They pursue their desire. So I said to God, how do I desire the spiritual gifts? I read it. I've sat under it. But how do I desire it? And God gave me a simple little explanation. He said, Danny, if you stand in front of a bakehouse, you know, cookies and cakes and all the rest of it, and you stand there long enough and you look into that window, all of a sudden the saliva in your mouth will start to bubble up within your mouth, and the next thing you know, you'll be in that cookie shop eating those cakes. Why? Because you're looking. What you put your eyes on, what you focus on, right, will create a desire. And God says, desire spiritual gifts. Now here's the clever part when God spoke that to me, and he said to me, if you sit under the teaching, every time you sit under teaching, when I'm teaching, and this is the way he gave me it, he said, if you sit under the teaching of love, come on, when pastor teaches on love, you leave this building, what do you desire to do? You desire to walk in more than love, don't you? And that, why? Because God is so smart, he preaches his word on love, and the entrance of that word comes into your life and starts to create a desire. So we're teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. That's why we've got to teach them. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But the desires will start to spring within your heart because God will place the desire within you because the word of the Lord will come and will pierce your spirit and the desire will start to spring up. Then you've got to start acting because the desire will be there. This is how this stuff works. We don't get these manifestations without teaching these things. We've got to teach the word of God on these situations so that you can be aware and have an expectancy. You don't need to tell a child that at Christmas time, do you? When it's Christmas. They have an expectancy to receive that gift. They're coming down in the morning, you know. They'll roller coaster you to get to that Christmas tree, to get to that present, because it's a gift. They want the gift. They go for their gift. You have to go. These are gifts that God has given to the body of Christ, and you have to go after it. You have to say, these gifts are available for the body of Christ. They're available. He's telling you to desire spiritual gifts. They are available, people. They are available. So let's get into it. Lesson 2, gifts of the Spirit. revision from last week. The body of Christ is to have understanding of the gifts of the Spirit. Paul instructed the believer not to be ignorant. See? Ignorant. Not to be ignorant of what? Of spiritual things. Of the spiritual gifts. In fact, Isaiah says this way, my people perish for the lack of knowledge. Don't be ignorant. We need the knowledge of God's word to come to our life so that we are not going to be ignorant of how these things. I really believe this. Do you know why that people are going to soothsayers and they're going to crystal ball readers and they're going into the new age? Because the church has never risen up with the supernatural. And the devil's went, over here, I'll show you some stuff. Because this stuff is the church, and then the church has backed away from this stuff is because they've seen the soothsayers and the crystal ball readers and all of these things, and then the enemies came and tried to convince the church. You see, it's of the devil. The devil is just basically copying or trying to copy the real deal. We have the real deal. He has the fake. We have the real deal. He has the fake. The real deal is God is a supernatural. Jesus' life, you read the four Gospels, people, and the whole four Gospels is all supernatural. Everything Jesus done was supernatural. Reading people's mail, talking to them, knowing what's in their heart, knowing what they're thinking. His whole ministry was supernatural, and yet in the book of Romans it tells us we're supposed to be transformed into his likeness and into his image and act like he acts and think like he thinks. And the greater things I did, he said, I want you, yous will do. He's talking to the church in a whole. So it's available. It's there. So the three categories of the gifts, and we'll just say this again before we get into it. Remember, flowing in the gifts of the Spirit, because we have some people new in this class tonight, flowing in the gifts of the Spirit is not a mark of your spirituality. Flowing in the gifts of the Spirit is by the Spirit of God. It's the Spirit of God operating through you, right? People have looked at people in the past and think, oh, they must be giants of faith. They must be really spiritual, and their lives have been a disaster. Because God will use any situation, even when you're sensitive to the things of the Spirit. You can be sent. I know people of God that have been sensitive to the things of the Spirit of God in their life, and yet allowed their flesh to destroy them, and because their character has never been developed. But yet still sensitive to things of the Spirit. And yet God has grace has been upon them to still move. Why? Because God desires to meet the needs of a person's life. So God will still move through that person. But eventually, and it goes like this, your anointing will take you places, but it's your character that actually holds you in the place. People can be anointed and gifted in the things of God, but if you don't develop your character, you'll never sustain it. So 1 Corinthians 12, 8 and 11 says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the same Spirit, to another the word of knowledge. And remember, it's a word. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, through the same Spirit, through the Holy Ghost, to the faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. The Spirit works all these things. Who? The Spirit of God works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Not as you will. You have to desire, sitting under teaching, desires will come. You have to pursue God and stay open and have an expectancy, but it's as he wills. He distributes these gifts as he wills. The simplest way to describe these nine gifts is to break them into three different categories. The first three say something. Three of them say something. Three of them do something, right? Nine gifts of the Spirit. Three say something, three do something, and three of them reveal something. Gifts of the Spirit. So there's three categories. So the three that say something are the utterance gifts. We had this last week. Remember tongues? And then we had interpretation of tongues, right? And let me just say that, I don't know if it's in here just now, but even when I gave that tongue last week, see, people... Sometimes you might hear the tongue coming and somebody will give an interpretation and you'll think, oh, that can't be the interpretation of that tongue, because the tongue was longer than interpretation, or the interpretation was shorter than the tongue. That's got nothing to do with it, because it's not a translation. Did you hear me? It's an interpretation. It's not a translation. A translation is word for word. When you translate a manuscript, it's word for word. This is not a translation. It's an interpretation. When we were talking to some people last week at halftime, at the break, and the person I was talking to said, you know, I saw words floating by, but they said, but it didn't really, it wasn't like the you know, when you gave your interpretation, it wasn't like it. And so I said to the person, well, what was it? And the person told me what it was. And basically, it had the whole essence of what I actually said, interpretation by the Spirit of God. But it was just in a different vocabulary, that was all. Why? Because God uses the person. I mean, come on. He's using me. I'm Scottish. This is who he's using. So my vocabulary, he's going to use my vocabulary because that's how I speak. But the person that I was talking to, their vocabulary was a bit different, but the essence of the message was the same. So that's what we've got to be aware of, the vessel that God's using. It's not a translation, it's an interpretation. So the gift that says something are the utterance gifts: prophecy, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues, right? Different kind of tongues and top interpretation. Those tongues are not the tongues that you pray every day. Shol rabasti kipro. That's your heavenly language. You can pray in those tongues anytime you want, because you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. If you've been baptized in the Holy Ghost and speaking in other tongues, they are your heavenly language. That's your heavenly language tongues. But there is a supernatural tongue that comes by the Spirit of God, right? So when I had that tongue last week, you saw me standing at the pulpit last week, right? And all of a sudden, I couldn't move. I sensed the presence of God come all over me. Yet the Holy Spirit lives and dwells within me. He lives and dwells within me, yet he also comes upon you. He comes upon you with these gifts. And I sensed the presence, so I knew something was ready to happen. So I just paused in the teaching, and then I yielded. I paused, I listened, and I yielded. I acted. I acted by faith, people. I just acted by faith. Do I have the same thing? We talk about fear. Do I have the same thing that, you know, that things don't like that? Or what if it's, hey, it's called faith. But you will sense it. You will sense it. And as I sensed that, I opened my mouth, gave the tongue, and then waited for interpretation. And I believe strongly, if there is a person who gives a tongue, God will give you the interpretation. Now, I always ask the Lord, do you want me to give the interpretation? Happened on Friday, I think Friday night we were preaching now. And the first thing I asked the Lord was, do you want me to give the interpretation? Because sometimes you can give the tongue and God wants the body to give the interpretation. And sometimes there can be two or three different parts of that interpretation. One might have a part and another person might have another part or another partner. So when I gave that interpretation, I asked the Lord, do you want me to give it? But at that point in time, I stopped, I paused, and I said, somebody who got an interpretation? That's why I did that. Because obviously, God wanted to use people in the class. But at the same point, I knew if nobody would give it, I am prepared to step out in faith and give the interpretation. Again, I step out in faith. I just wait. I might hear one little word. That's all I might get, just one little word. And I open my mouth. See, you've got to open your mouth. He's not going to come and grab you with your mouth and make you speak. You'll sense his presence. It will bubble up inside you. But you have to open your mouth in faith. And one word, and all of a sudden, it just starts to flow. It's simple. It's not rocket science. It's simple, right? But it's just overcoming the flesh, overcoming the feelings, overcoming what if I get... No, forget that stuff. Safe place. Just step out and open your mouth. And when you start to do it, it will start to flow on a regular basis. Act. You've got to act when you sense. But the question is this, I would say to you, when you sense it, Lord, is it for me to give the interpretation? He'll speak to you. There was a song on Friday night when we were in Shake All Nations, and Pastor Joe, she gave a song. My eyes was closed. She gave a song. And as she's given a song, 2 minutes before she gave a song, I heard in my spirit, God sent me and gave me a name in the congregation. This person was sitting right at the back of the congregation. It gave me a name and wanted me to speak over this person's life. So I waited, because you see, you don't have to rush God. You don't have to try and make it happen. God makes the way. So I waited, and I heard this song coming, and the song was very, very close to the prophecy that I really felt that I had in my spirit. And I'm saying, Lord, is it still me? Is it for me to give? And I heard the Lord say this to me, clear as a bell. He says, you know my voice. That's what I heard. You know my voice. I said, okay, Lord. So then I got up, I turned around and spoke by the Spirit of God. I knew, and it was this person, and we're going to get into it shortly, about the word of wisdom. It was a word of knowledge, but it was also a word of wisdom. And you usually find that those gifts, like they come in categories of three, but you usually find they work closely together. They're very, very close. They work together in many areas. There's in the categories of three. So it was a word of wisdom. The word of knowledge was something that God knew, and God was telling about his prayers and how that God's heard his prayers, and God's seen what he was doing at that point in time. And then there was a flick into the word of wisdom, and God saying, this is about to happen in your life. Future. But we'll get into that in a minute. So what I'm saying is, God wants to operate in these things, but you have to have an expectancy for it. And you have to be asking the question all the time. You're there. Lord, you feel it bubbling up. You sense it bubbling up in your spirit. Lord, is it for me to give the interpretation? He'll speak, but you've got to ask the question. It's about communicating with the Holy Spirit. Communicate with him. So it's three that say something. Three that do something are the gifts of power. The gift of faith, right? The gift of faith, the working of miracles, and the gifts of healings. The gift of faith here, again, it's the supernatural gift of faith. It's not the faith that comes by preaching the word. When we preach the word of God, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. So you can build your faith at any time you want by hearing the word of God. You can build it by speaking it, and by speaking the word and by hearing the word, you can build your faith. That's faith that comes from the word of God. This is the gifts of the Spirit, is not that faith. This is a supernatural endowment of a supernatural gift that causes a supernatural thing to happen at that point in time. In other words, when Peter's in the boat, remember Peter's in the boat and Jesus is walking in the water and looks at him and Peter goes, is that you, Jesus? And Jesus says, come. Supernatural faith came upon Peter. You don't walk on water. This is the natural man in the canal. I mean, looking, you're in a boat. He's been a fisherman all his life. You don't walk on water. The spirit of faith came upon his life, and he says, Lord, bid me to come. And when Jesus spoke again, that spirit of faith flowing from Jesus' mouth affected that man's life, and that man gets out the boat and he starts to walk on the water towards Jesus. People say, well, what was the point of walking in the water? It wasn't, we're missing the whole thing. It wasn't even a point about walking in the water. Jesus has actually shown him the supernatural manifestations of what can happen when you step out and believe. Jesus tried to show the supernatural manifestations if we will just believe. And he gets out the boat. But guess what? The rest of the bunch could have done the same thing. That's the sad thing about it. They're all sitting in the boat in their comfort zones. We don't want to be the people sitting in the boat, people, when God is doing and manifesting his glory. We want to be the people of God that are walking and getting out of the boat and saying, Jesus, tell me to come. Either my Lord, use her. No. Use me. Use me. So it's a gift of faith. It's a supernatural endowment that comes upon you to do supernatural feats in your life, supernatural things in your life. It's a supernatural endowment at that point in time. The working of miracles, the gifts of healings, three categories, right? That's the three gifts that do something. The three gifts that reveal something are the gifts of revelation that reveal something, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. They reveal things. And you'll find again that they work pretty close together. Each of these gifts are supernatural. Paul showed clearly in verse 11 that these gifts are miraculously bestowed. These gifts cannot be acquired by human mind or emotion. Nothing to do with your emotions, nothing to do with your feelings. Nor can they be attained by the labor or holiness. We must emphasize the word gift and believe that it is bestowed by the wisdom and the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit. Do you know that many people over the years have seen men, let's just use men, there's probably women too, but let's just use men. There's been many men of God that have walked in the power gifts and I mean, awesome miracles and signs and wonders. And fallen flat on their faces because of their lifestyle that they've been living. And yet God was still, you know, God's not an ending giver. You know, God, he's not, you know what I mean by an ending giver? Right? You know, you give and take it back and, right? God gives, he gives. There's men of God that have tapped into the supernatural gifts and the life has not been right. Now, eventually, it's affected their lives and it's destroyed their ministries. Eventually, it will. But yet, in that time and season, God was still reaching out. People were still getting out of wheelchairs. People with blind eyes were still opening. Of one guy I'm thinking about, I don't want to use any names because it's not about using people's names or whatever. Just trying to give you some examples. God will use men and women of God even when they're even messed up. But eventually, if their character doesn't get sorted out, it will destroy them. And they will never be effective again. To the degree that God wants them to. So we have to work two things here. We have to desire these things to walk with God, but we have to desire to know him and to know who we are. Know who we are, who he is, so that we can walk in the right way with him. And that's why I always say the teachings that we do on the nine gifts of the fruit of the Spirit are powerful. Why? Because it's the fruit of the Spirit that makes you spiritual. Walking in the fruit of the Spirit, walking in love, walking in the supernatural joy, walking in the peace, walking in that divine, these divine essences are the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. Walking in that will change your life. These gifts are bestowed upon us so that we can win a battle in our life. But we need to do two things. We need to get our character right, pursue him for who he is, pursue him and get to know who we are so that we can walk in unison with him so that we can be more powerful operating these gifts. That we will not become like the people of old that went before us and some have fallen flat on their faces and people say, I see, look at what happened. The enemy will always be out to try and trap the people of God that walk in the power gifts. And why? Because it destroys his kingdom people. It destroys the powers of darkness. It reveals and destroys the powers of darkness. So yes, there's an enemy of your soul, but guess what? You have the victory. God is for you, then who can be against you? God is your shield and your buckler. God is your strength. He is with you. There's no weapon formed against you can prosper. It will not prosper. But you've got to stay in that secret place. You've got to stay walking with him and stay close to him. That's why Apostle Paul says, I give no occasion to the flesh, because he knows that the flesh can take him down the wrong road, even though he flowed in all the power gifts and all of these things. I give no my flesh no occasion. In other words, I keep it crucified. Each of these gifts is supernatural bestowed upon us. For example, King Solomon did not possess the gift of the word of wisdom. His request to God was for the wisdom and knowledge. This would refer to natural things to govern the people. God gave it to him, but it was God's wisdom and knowledge he operated in so long as his motive intent was to bless the people and build the nation. What am I talking about? You remember when the palace and the child, you know the story? The two women were saying it's their baby, it's my baby. Right, because one woman woke up and the baby was dead and she took the other person's baby, comes before the king. Solomon, the wisdom that was upon his life, right? So it wasn't the spirit and the word of wisdom that we're talking about here. He had wisdom. He asked God for wisdom and God gave him wisdom to run a kingdom. He had wisdom and insight into things. And he says to the two women, take the sword and kill the baby. In fact, cut the baby in half. And one woman was going to let it happen. And the other woman started screaming the house down and saying, no, give her the baby. Well, he knew whose baby it was. That was wisdom. Still supernatural, but it's not the wisdom we're talking about. It's not the word of wisdom. He walked in a supernatural wisdom to build the kingdom. We can have from God, because it tells you in James, if any man lack wisdom, ask of God and he'll give you it. Give you wisdom to run your life. But we're talking the endowment of the gifts of the Spirit that come upon you, that give you a word of wisdom, a window of opportunity, a window of the future to see a future event or a future thing. A definition of the gifts. In this session, the brief explanation of each of the nine gifts will be given. In the latter lessons, a full description will be made of each individual gift. So we're just briefly going through this stuff just now, but once we get into deeper into the lessons, we'll go into more details on how this stuff operates. The word of wisdom. This is the revealing of a prophetic future under the anointing of God. Prophetic future. So the word of wisdom is always about a prophetic future. It's future. Okay, an example. David was a prophet. He was a psalmist. And you'll find that in a prophet's ministry, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits, them three will prominently be very strong within a prophet's ministry. Now, it doesn't mean the body of Christ can't operate in these things. Of course they can. But you'll find that with certain gifts and ministry gifts, there'll be certain gifts that go very strong with certain type of gifts. A prophet is a discerner. In fact, the Old Testament called it as a seer. Right? So let's just leave that aside for a second. But David, being a prophet, he saw the cross. A couple of thousand years before Jesus ever went to the cross. And at that point in time in history, guess what? There wasn't any such thing as crucifixion in his history. He saw the cross. He saw Jesus being crucified. He saw that no bones would be broken in his body. And what did the Roman soldiers do when the Roman Empire came in? They started the crucifixion, right, at that point in time in history. And what happened is they would break people's legs to make sure that, right, that didn't happen to Jesus, did it? It was a spear that went into it, right? David prophesied all of that stuff. That was the word of wisdom. It was a future event that he saw, and he prophesied it in. In fact, it's actually a song, because David was singing psalms, and these are songs, but he was singing prophetic songs of the future and seeing the kingdom of God away down, 2,000 years down the road. So God wants to give us glimpses of the eternity. In fact, I like putting it this way, especially on a prophet's ministry. Let's just use a prophet for a minute, right? Especially on a prophet of God, you'll find in a prophet of God's life, with these gifts that are very strong in their life, they have the ability to step into the future realm and bring it into the present. That's what a prophet has an ability to do. They step into that future realm and basically they bring it into the present where you can actually see it, grab a hold of it, and impact your life. You get a glimpse. That's why God puts certain gifts within the body. There are certain gifts in the body that are very strong and certain manifestations of these gifts of the Spirit, because it goes with the ministry. But laying them gifts aside, they're still for the body of Christ. But as the Spirit of God wills. So, the word of knowledge is revealing of a fact in existence which cannot be seen, heard, or revealed naturally. It is in existence. It is a fact. It is knowledge. It is supernatural. It is revealed by God. My daughter, when she was 3 years old, I told you, it was a word of knowledge, right, that she spoke to me. And a word of wisdom right on his back. Probably saved my life. God tried to give me a word of knowledge, and when I first came to New Zealand, I moved to Waimana. I was farming for 18 months, working on the farm, and all of a sudden, on the Friday, I got asked to go and play badminton. Never played badminton in my life. I was more into football and soccer and all that stuff. So I got asked to go and play badminton. So I'm finished from work and ready to go with the guys that owned the farm. I'm sitting at breakfast. And the Spirit of God was trying to speak to me and a word of knowledge. I kept seeing and knew there was something up, right? But I just wasn't sharp enough. I was just ignoring it because I wanted to go and play badminton, right? Sometimes we override things because we want to do our own thing. But at that table, he was trying to warn me about badminton. It was in my spirit. I just knew something was up. It was a word of knowledge. It was a word of knowledge that something was about to happen, and he was trying to warn me. And many things happen in people's lives, and God's trying to give dreams and all sorts of things, and we're just not sharp enough to pick up what he's trying to tell us. And then we say, why didn't God show us? God's shown things all the time, people. We're just not picking it up quick enough. So what happened was, I went to badminton. And within 10, 15 minutes on the badminton course, I'm playing doubles. I'm at the front, the farmer's wife, right? She's playing at the back. The people own the farm, she's playing the back. I'm that excited about playing badminton. I'm just 100%, and I go for everything, when especially sports, right? I'm at the front. Well, you're supposed to stay at the front, but not me. I tried to go to the back, and just as I went to the back, she swung the racket, and it hit me right in the eye. Split my eye, this eye here. It split it. Blood was pouring out. Tracy came straight over. Thank God for grace and mercy. Came over and was praying over me. I got rushed to the hospital. I actually split. I had to get an operation on my eye. It actually split my eye, and it damaged the retina where it doesn't close. You know, when you look at light, it should close. God tried to warn me. But then, I didn't listen. Because I overrode what the Spirit of God was trying to do in my life. They are weapons. God wants to pre-warn us about supernaturally about these things. God said to me one time, many years ago, in Scotland, and he said to me, this is what he said to me. He said, this is the way he said it to me, right? See, God speaks to me the way he speaks to me. He may not speak to you this way, but he speaks to me this way, right? God said to me, it seems to amaze me that you, when you go to the prayer meetings and you go to the church services, whatever, you have a great expectancy to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. You have an expectancy for that. And he's going, that's great. And I knew that he was pleased with that when he was speaking to me. But then he goes, but, when you hear a but, something's coming. And he says, why don't you have an expectancy for those gifts to operate within your own household and your own family? And I never thought about it. Why? I would go to the church because you think church, you know, you come to the building, you worship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, and that's where God moves and that's where God does things. God was taking the blindfold off and he's going, it's for everywhere. It's for your family. When you're sitting and your wife is going through something and the enemy may be lying to her about a situation, you're sitting there and all of a sudden you have a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom and you say, hey, this is what's happening. But you have to expect it in your own, household, in your own relationship, over your own children. Asking the Holy Spirit to reveal things to you. You have to put a demand on these things with your faith. I don't know how many times, in fact, this woman is the sharpest cookie on this thing. Many, many times, anything that something goes missing within the house, whatever, the first thing she does, and she'll look at me, or I'll say, I've lost something. She says, have you asked the Holy Spirit? I found things in the most craziest places that you would have never found in a million years. Holy Spirit revealing things by the word of knowledge. I went straight to the place, pulled something back, and here's the thing I'm looking for. I got that from this woman here. She operates very strongly in that arena. Always communicating with the Holy Spirit, revealing. God will reveal things. He wants to live with us. He wants to walk with us. He wants to show us things to come. He wants to reveal things when things are happening within our family's life so that he can protect us. We'll talk more stories when we get more into the depth of the study on that stuff. Plenty more stories on this stuff. So, it is revealing the fact of an existence which cannot be seen, heard, revealed naturally as an existence, as a fact, as a knowledge, as a supernatural revealed by God. It is a word. It's not the full knowledge of God. If you're the full knowledge of God, you'd be like God. No, he's God. You're his son and his daughter. He gives you words of wisdom. He gives you words of knowledge. The discerning of spirits. The gift has to do with God giving insight into the spirit world and cannot be known in any other way than God revealing it. And I say discerning of spirits, the first thing people think, oh, demons, get a life. There is more angels that are for you than are against you. Right? Only a third. How many fell? A third. So how many does that leave? Two-thirds of trillions, trillions and trillions of angels. In fact, Jesus says, hey, boys, I can call, you know, a legion into the garden. When Jesus talks about in the garden, when they come to get him, he says, look, you can't take my life. I lay my life down. They think they're coming to take his life. Jesus says, you can do nothing that I don't allow. He says, I could call on one legion of angels. In fact, one angel went through Egypt and basically destroyed, you know the story in Egypt, one angel dealt a blow to the Egyptian empire. One angel. And here's Jesus saying, I can call upon a legion. How many is in a legion? Pastor, you'll know about these things, eh? A lot. He says, a lot, right? A legion. Could be 200. He says, I could call one legion of angels and it's over, buddy. One third fell, there's another two thirds. That's what, you know, right from the beginning tonight, we talk about what are we talking about all these things for? We should be focusing on who God is, about the angels, about who you are in Christ. In fact, the psalmist David puts it this way. He says, speak of his wonderful works, speak of his greatness, speak of his wonders, speak of his goodness. Why? Because what you focus on is what you usually get. So people start focusing on all this other stuff, and you know what happens? Fear creeps into their life. Focusing. I know people back in Scotland talking about Illuminati, like some friends and family, oh, Illuminati Black, they've studied it and they've allowed fear to come into their life where they're being controlled by fear because they've dug into that stuff because of what? Between 3,000 and 6,000. Jesus says, I can call one legion. 3,000 and 6,000. So we focus on, hey, the kingdom of God. We focus on the greatness of God. God's for us. We've got two-thirds of angels working for us. I mean, we've got angels that want to do things for us, and we're not activating our angels. Do you understand what I'm saying? We are not activating our angels. Do you know why we're not activating them? Because the Bible says in Psalms, it says the angels hearken to the word of God. And if you are not speaking the word of God over your life and situation, the angels only hearken to that word. When you're speaking life from the word of God, they will hearken to that word. They are there as servants to the body of Christ. Don't know how I got into that, but anyway. The gift of faith. This is a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It is totally separate from the believer's faith as a gift from God. Talked about that for a few minutes. The gift of the working of miracles. It is a miracle, as a supernatural intervention in an ordinary course of nature. A miracle is a super. Do you know how many people say, oh, miracle powder, miracle this, miracle? They've made it so, you know, like it's like nothing, right? A miracle is a supernatural intervention in the ordinary course of nature, a temporary suspension of the accustomed order, an interruption of the system of nature as we know it, operated by force by the Spirit of God. I'm going to take a break in 2 seconds, but here's an example. Who knows the story of Joshua? Joshua was in a barrel, right, doing God's work. And it says that Joshua spoke to the sun. The spirit of faith came upon Joshua. The spirit of faith came upon Joshua. And a miracle happened. Hey, the sun basically stopped all day until the battle was won. The sun stopped. Day stopped. It was suspended. A miracle. Intervention, even into the natural laws of the world. The sun basically was stopped. It was a miracle. We're talking about everything is supernatural by the Spirit of God. God wants miracles, signs, and wonders in the church. Take a break for a couple of minutes. Okay, let's get back in. We don't want to hold you up too much tonight. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you again for tonight, and we thank you for the mighty Spirit of God who dwells and lives within us. And we acknowledge you, Holy Spirit, again, that you are the teacher, that you are the one who reveals, that you are the one who brings revelation and wisdom. And I yield myself to you again. And Jesus, we worship you and thank you as the head of the church, that you have sent the Holy Spirit to help us in all of these things and reveal these beautiful gifts to us. They are the manifestations of your very being, Jesus. Thank you. Amen. Just one word on that again, that, you know, as we talked about last week, is this. They are the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. These gifts are Him manifesting Himself in your life and through you. That's what's happening when you flow in the gifts of the Spirit. It is God. It is divinely the Spirit of God coming upon you and revealing something through you or activating his power through you. It's him. So we acknowledge him. We don't take any glory. We don't take nothing. There's nothing we can do without him. It's him. It's God the Holy Spirit. He's the one that was sent to the church to empower the church with these things so that we can be effective to build his kingdom and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole thing the Holy Spirit came is what? The Holy Spirit came to help us, to lead us to Jesus and to glorify Jesus. That's why the Holy Spirit came, to glorify Jesus and build the kingdom, to build the church. So that's what these gifts are for, his manifestations. So the gifts of healings, we're looking at the gifts of healings now. The gifts of healings are given by God for the supernatural healing of disease without natural means from any source. Right? It's supernatural. Now, do I believe in natural source? Of course I do. I believe in eating healthy. I believe in doing the right things. And, you know, you don't put dirty diesel in your car or dirty petrol in your car, do you? Because you wouldn't get very far. Nobody would think about putting, you know, a bit of dirt in your petrol in your petrol tank. You know, like if you looked at a bit of petrol and it's dirty, you would never, if it's dirty, you would never put it into your petrol tank. But yet, we've got this one body, and sometimes we can, you know, cause so many things to happen with the things that we eat and whatever. And God is gracious, and God is the healer, and God will deliver us and set us free. But God is trying to get wisdom into our life and all and how we look after this temple. So we need both things. We were always trained in the ministry over the years that we, for over 18 years, was you believe God supernaturally. You believe God that he's the healer, that he will keep you in divine health. But at the same point, you look after your temple and you feed your temple what it needs. Now, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So what I'm about to say just now, don't feel condemned. If MD Heat is smoking, do not feel condemned. What I'm saying is this. You know, it's like they're puffing on the end of a cigarette. It's poisoning your system. It's doing damage. And you think, oh, God's my healer. God is the healer. That's who he is. But we are deliberately poisoning our system. And then we look to the body of Christ and we see so many things happening. And if all we need to look at is just how that we live our lives and the problems. Listen, there's things that I was believing God for a few years when I came in this country. Little things that was niggling in my body, some things. And I believe in God. I believe in the supernatural. I believe in healing. I've seen miracle signs and wonders, walked in them. And there was some little thing in my body that just wasn't leaving me. And God was dealing with me on my diet and the things that I was eating. And since I've changed my diet, that problem that I had is gone. I'll tell you what it was. You're all thinking, what is it? Do you want to know what it is? It was gout. I never had gout in my life till I came to New Zealand. I did not. I mean, I've been here 16 years. I never had gout. And it's not because I drink, because I don't drink. It's not to do because I know there's wine. There's certain things. There's wine, mussels. There's a lot of things that can actually inflame gout. And people suffer it badly in this country, right? I've seen it worse here than I've seen it in most places in this country. It's gout. It's terrible. It's like somebody stabbing you with a knife. I mean, one little sheet on the top of your feet. It's like somebody stabbing you with a knife in your feet and your toes. It's horrible. It started when I was working in Waimana on the farm, eating too much red meat. Sitting in the sun out in the sun too long, not drinking enough water. Because in Scotland, you don't drink a lot of water because it's never really warm, so you don't really need to drink a lot of water, right? But here, it's like I had to force myself to drink water, right? So there's things what I'm saying. And then my lovely wife, who's right into nutrition, she basically got me onto smoothies. And if MD here suffers along these lines, yes, we can pray and we can believe God, but we can give you wisdom too. Blueberries, bananas, ginger, and pineapple, right? And lemon, a whole lemon in a smoothie and whip it up and drink one of those every day. Hey presto. It's gone. Why? Because all anti-inflammatory, they are all anti-inflammatory that is affecting the physical body. So we need both things. God put those things in the earth to help us as physical beings. And then sometimes we are blaming, thinking, oh God, why is God not doing this and why not God's doing that? God is trying to train us in all different areas of our life to look after ourselves. One man of God, I remember years ago, seen miracles, walked in signs and wonders and miracles, and seen great manifestations of healings. And his wife basically was dying of a, I can't even remember what it was. And he prayed and prayed and prayed and believed God. And God, he said, I've seen all these miracles. And God spoke to him as he was on his knees praying. And God says, you tell her to quit the coffee and the donuts. No, I'm not listening. Listen, if God's not saying that to you, it's fine. I'm just saying she was struggling with a disease, right? And God basically says, tell her to quit the donuts and the coffee. She quit the donuts and the coffee and instantly got healed. Now, I believe it was God that healed her because it was a disease that was going to kill her, right? But God was trying to say, these two things are adding to the problem. Now, I don't know how I got onto that, but if the shoe fits, wear it. Could have been a word of knowledge for somebody sitting here looking to help you. I don't know. So where were we now? Right. So that's it. Gifts of healings. That's why. The gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is a supernatural utterance in a knowledge and a known tongue. Right. The gift of prophecy is a supernatural utterance in a known tongue. In other words, when I was speaking earlier on last week, I spoke in the tongues and then I gave the interpretation in my own language, right, the English language. So it's a prophecy is in your language. And prophecy can be, I remember being on a I was at a meeting once. And on this, anybody heard of Jackie Pillinger? Jackie Pillinger done great work in the walled city, I think it was China, right? A lot of opium dens and the whole deal. And she came to Scotland and she was on the stage. And she had these three Chinese guys on the stage. And it was funny. Spirit of God, they're playing, they're worshiping. The Spirit of God comes on one and he gives a tongue, right? The other one gives the interpretation, but he gives the interpretation in Chinese. So still nobody could understand what he was saying. So then the other person had to interpret what he had just given the interpretation from, right? So what I'm saying is the interpretation, prophecy is in that language. So that Chinese would give the prophecy in his language because the tongue came, he's Chinese, he speaks Chinese, so he gave it in Chinese. But as it happens, he's in Scotland where nobody speaks Chinese, in that meeting, nobody speaks Chinese, so we needed the interpretation. So we needed somebody to interpret the interpreter. So it was quite funny, just watching all that happen on the stage. So different kinds. So the gift of prophecy, supernatural utterance, known tongue, it brings edification, comfort, and it brings edification, exhortation, and comfort to the church. It is supernaturally given by God without human thinking. Now, there's three essences in the gift of prophecy there. Exhortation, comfort, and edification. Anybody can operate in that, in the body. Anybody can operate in that. But you'll find if we step into that and we start prophesying within the church, these three things should be in those prophecies. It will not be dragging you down. Jesus always, by his Spirit, moves into the body to build the church, to build the church, to exhort the church, to edify the church, to comfort the church. Now, when a prophet gets involved, it's a different ball game. It's an office. Prophet can be prophesying about different things and destruction that's happening in the world. There's different things that happen because they're operating under a different gift. But prophecy, and I've seen so many, this has went. In fact, I've seen so many times that people think because they prophesy that they're a prophet. Get a grip. Right? I say, wake up, smell the coffee. Because we prophesy, it doesn't mean that we're a prophet. A prophet is an office. It's an office like the pastor, the apostle, the pastor, the prophet, the evangelist, the teacher. They are offices that God places people into. They are offices. But we are talking about the spiritual gifts here that come upon you to operate under and through by the Spirit of God. So prophecy, somebody prophesying does not make you a prophet. A prophet is an office. Have we got that? Many people run around prophesying and call themselves prophets. No. Prophecy is anybody in the body of Christ can operate in prophecy. by the Spirit of God, because God wants to move by His Spirit. You'll find in prophecy, this type of prophecy, edification, comfort, and edification and comfort, you'll find within that, the essence of that, it's there to build up and to bring exhortation and comfort to the people. But when it steps over into a prophet's ministry, an office, you'll find it's more words of knowledge, more words of wisdom, discerning of spirits. Prophet's ministry. Right? They operate very strongly. So because people prophesy, it doesn't mean they're a prophet. I've seen it over the years. People always jump, oh, he's a prophet because he's prophesying. He's no more a prophet than me, than I'm going to the moon, or, you know, a spaceman. Right? It's an office. A prophet is an office. But we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit coming upon the body to manifest His presence and His divine inspiration through us. But we'll get into all of that stuff later on down the road. The gift of different kind of tongues. Different kind of tongues is a supernatural utterance by the Holy Spirit in a language never learned by the speaker. So it's nothing to do with you learning a language. This is supernatural. Not necessarily understood by the mind or the speaker, nor necessarily understood by the hearer. It has nothing to do with the linguistic ability, nothing to do with man's mind or intellect. It is a vocal miracle. You seen it last week when the Spirit of God came upon me and I gave that tongue. I wasn't thinking what to say. It was just flowing from inside. The Spirit of God came upon me and then rose up within inside of me, and it was a tongue. I wasn't thinking. It was nothing to do with my reasonable faculties. It had nothing to do with my intellect. It had nothing to do with my emotions. It's got nothing to do with any of that stuff. This is supernatural by the Spirit of God coming upon you and speaking through you. Supernatural tongue. Not my heavenly language. It was a supernatural tongue. And the supernatural tongue, which is one of the main gifts of the Spirit, can be interpreted. But your heavenly language, you're praying in the Spirit, nobody's got a clue what you're saying. But when this is a gift that comes upon you, the tongues, there's an interpretation. There will be people in the congregation that will be able to interpret that. They'll hear words as you're speaking in that tongue. They'll just hear in their spirit the words. Or God will just float words through your... You'll just see words flow. There's many different ways that it happens. It's got to be, that's the supernatural gift of the tongue, not your heavenly language. So this is one of the gifts of the Spirit. So the gift of interpretation, tongues, this gift functions without any mental faculties operating. The message that has been given in another language is interpreted supernaturally by the Spirit of God, like you've seen last week. It was interpreted, right? It wasn't a translation, it was interpreted by the Spirit of God. So the gifts operate as the Spirit wills. Remember, as the Spirit of God wills. Like I'm here tonight, preaching the same word, doing the same thing. At this point in time, the Holy Spirit has not moved into that situation. But I'm here, and I'm available, and I'm willing. So we don't try and turn these things off and on. We just expect God to move. But we have to be sensitive to the Spirit of God to move upon us in these things. There's too many things it's caused so much damage because people are trying to operate in something from their natural, carnal, or intellectual, or emotional life when everything operates from the kingdom of God, from your spirit man, from the new creation, from who you are in Christ. And that's why you've got to step into that realm with God and stay close, knitted, and sensitive to the things of God, to the Spirit of God. So 1 Corinthians 12, 8 and 11 says, Paul teaches that not every man is going to have all these gifts. He teaches that. This is what he says here. Not every individual is going to have every single one of these gifts operating through him. Because he said, for to one is given, not to everybody, the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge. To some have taken this passage out of its setting and have thought that the Bible was telling the individual to desire all these gifts. Actually, Paul was telling the church as a group to covet them. Then, if it does, the Spirit will distribute to every man individually as he wills, not as man wills, but as the Spirit of God wills. So Paul is addressing the church, the body of Christ. Every fact, when you read the rest of that chapter, and it talks about every part fitly joined together. You know, can the hand say to the eye? I don't need you. Can the ear say to the mouth? You know, every part working together. Paul is talking to the body of Christ. God isn't looking for superstars. He's looking for the body to work together, that we can work together as a body, that he can manifest his glory through us, through his body. There's been men of God over past histories that have operated in profound gifts of the Spirit of God, and it's almost that people have actually, in fact, here, let me just give you from the scripture. You remember when Paul got onto, maybe he got shipwrecked and they got onto the island? Remember the island he went onto? Right? And he gets onto the island, and what happened was he picked some sticks up, right? And all of a sudden this deadly snake bit him, and he just flicked it off. It's a whole sermon on its own, but he flicked it off. And all the natives are looking at him going, hey, they're waiting for him to die. Thought he's got to be a criminal because this deadly thing's happened to him. Well, Paul flicked it off, right? Flicked it off supernaturally. Paul knew how to walk in the supernatural. He flicked this thing off. And then they starts to call him a god. And he starts going in. They start calling him in to heal people, right? And he goes in and he starts manifesting the glory of God. And he says, hey, I can do nothing. Don't call me a god. I'm just a man like you are. But that's what can happen. And it's no wonder God distributes those gifts as he wills and as he purposes. Because can you imagine these things happen? One man had all these gifts, floating around his gifts. People will start to worship men. It's not about worshiping men. It's about giving glory to God. You don't touch God's glory. You don't touch his money and you don't touch his glory. It's two things you don't touch. God desires for us to operate in these things. But it's as he wills and as he purposes. He sees the hearts. He sees how you're pursuing him. Let us now go into the depth study on each of the nine gifts of the Spirit so that we may receive greater comprehension of the purposes and function of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit to the church. The word of wisdom. In the category of revelation gifts, remember, revelation gifts, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits. So this is one of the revelation gifts, right? It reveals something. In the category of the revelation gifts, utterance, God supernaturally reveals through a person that which his mind cannot conceive, his ears have not heard, and his eyes have not seen. Nothing to do with the natural mind. This is supernatural insight by the Spirit of God. What the gift is not, this is what the gift is not. The gift of the word of wisdom is not that a person is brilliant or that he has academic success in any subject. The gift has nothing to do with worldly wisdom. It's an endowment by the Spirit of God. It is supernatural revelation. The gift of the word of wisdom is supernatural revelation of divine purpose of God in Christ, communicated by the Holy Spirit to the church through a believer. The gift unveils in part, underline that, in part, the purposes of God on the earth. In part, it is a word. It's not the fullness of wisdom, it's a word of wisdom. See, people say, oh, I've got this gift. It is a word that the Holy Spirit manifests at that particular point in time. I'm driving, I'm actually on a bus many years ago in Scotland, and I'm going up the north of Scotland. I was going to meet an American friend of mine's. And as I'm on the bus, the Spirit of God spoke to me, and I knew it was absolutely a word of wisdom, and he showed me. I'm talking early 80s, people. Early 80s. I'm on this bus, and I'm on my way up, and the Spirit of the Lord revealed, and it was the word of wisdom, he revealed a glimpse of my future. And he spoke to me divinely, and he said to me divinely, he says, from these borders, from the north of Scotland, you'll go into many different countries. And I have. That was in the 80s. I've been in, and probably going to more countries. I've been in places like Honduras and South Africa and Nigeria. And all over the States, New Zealand, Australia, it was a glimpse, it was a little glimpse into my future by the word of wisdom that God showed me. Another time, I'm lying on my bed praying in the Spirit. And if you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, I encourage you, pray much in the Spirit, because that's what gets you into the Spirit and that's what keeps you sensitive to the Spirit of God. because it's Him that's given you the utterance as you speak in the whole in the Spirit by the Holy Ghost. I was laying on my bed many years ago in Scotland. I'm lying there and I'm praying, and all of a sudden, I saw myself on a plane. It was another word of wisdom. I saw myself in a plane going to a destination. I saw myself, just as I was praying this, but I saw myself on this plane, right? So I gets up, and that night there was a prayer meeting on at the church in Scotland. I went to the church, and the pastor of the church said to me, he says, come here. I said, what is it? He says, we got a phone call tonight. I says, what was it about? He said, it was about you. I said, what about me? What about me? He goes, it was somebody from America wants you to come to America and play those bagpipes in America, right? And what happened was, I went through Bible college 84, 85, and there was an American lady in that college at the time, and she ended up hooking up with a Scottish guy, and they were getting married in Lakeland, Florida, and they were phoning to ask me to come to Lakeland, Florida. It was only a small part of the destiny, because that was just to get me over there. God hooked me up with so many things when I was over there. So many God hooked me up with divine connections. When I got there, God, the man that I met is the man that I end up going to Honduras with. Divine connections, supernaturally. I'm lying on the bed praying, see myself on a plane, go to the meeting that night, and they tell me there's a phone call from America, and God's saying, hey, they want me to go to America to play the bagpipes. I was in a church with 6,000 people playing the bagpipes, and there was a plague, and the guy that I ended up hooking up with was one of the pastors of that church, and he was a creative artist guy, and he'd done a whole play on the gospel according to Scrooge. Remember the old thing, Scrooge? Well, he'd done a whole play called The Gospel According to Scrooge, and they laid hands on people at the end of the night. People were getting healed, divinely healed by the Spirit of God. 30,000 people saw that play over a period of time. So God hooks me up with this guy. And I end up going to Honduras with this guy. All because the word of wisdom. Now, the word of wisdom came in a different way. It didn't come as an, it didn't come through a word. It came through a vision. As I was praying in the Spirit, I saw a vision. I saw in my vision myself on a plane. It was a word of wisdom revealing a bit of my future, what was about to happen. And I gets there in the phone call. God is supernatural. Divinely hooking us up with our destiny. King Glen Blow in GB in Glen Glisty in Glen Blambro in Britain in Zotum Britain Zitile Inglai in Sealery in Zoro in Tite in Zotum Malre in Shinji in Dro in Shin Dalambrosti in Glee in Zandi in Grosti Mingle in Zolrai in Ziblokro Rebastilre in Zobrai and Zai and Gil Rostimbayer Nikin Gro Mamanglin Gistro Manzairi and Virdre Bostokri Glai Dru and Shurim in Zanglai in Zikropai and Distros the Manzara Zilrosti Lestro Manzai. If you sense that you've got the interpretation of that, come. You'll know. It just sits right in here. Just bubbling up. Just here.
partial interpretation. I've received partial. It is desire.
I got, holy, holy, holy is the Lamb of God who reveals the mysteries of God and pours out his Spirit on us.
Well, I only got part of it and was the love and glory of God, so I haven't got it.
Cool. Okay, so just anyone else? Because basically what I got had to do with it's time for the bride to stand up in the wisdom and knowledge of the Lord in order to bring the glory of the Lord. I think it tied in with both of what you guys were saying. And that's that idea of revelation. It was just like, boom, it was like this little piece that I hadn't had in mind. So we submit that to you, Danny, to what?
Yeah, absolutely. And you can tell. Because even when the interpretation comes, it's here. You sense it. Even when it's coming. And the tongue and the interpretation, the glory of the revealing of the King and the mysteries of the kingdom. We're talking about the mysteries of the kingdom. This is the mysteries of the kingdom. This is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is Christ in you, the hope of glory, manifesting his glory, manifesting his wisdom, manifesting his power, manifesting his supernatural endowment that he's placed within us. Jesus. Jesus. Jesus, we worship you. Jesus, we worship you. Oh, Shebri is the Kimbrai. You got some interest.
Yeah, I was listening as the tongue was coming out, and I just believe the word is for the people that are picking up on the interpretation. And the words I was getting was, how often are you going to doubt me? How often are you going to doubt that you're hearing my voice? You're hearing it. You know my voice. Sometimes you play with it. You wonder. You question. You walk away. You shrug your shoulders. But you know inside your heart, it's me. And it's time for you to step out and repeat exactly what you've heard.
When I saw the Spirit coming upon you, I just felt the shift in my spirit, and the Lord said, I'm speaking directly to you. This is for you. So that was a confirmation.
Don't you just love him? Don't you just love his presence? Don't you just love when he just, and we're just dipping our feet in. But that's okay. Because if you don't start to dip your feet in, you'll never get wet. You'll always stay on dry ground. First Corinthians 2:7 says, but we speak the wisdom, in fact, he that's here, look. Listen to this. Now, you're going to think this is really funny, right? Here's it's here. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. We speak the wisdom of God in a ministry, in a mystery. The hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. There's the two things that were spoken in that word. The glory and the mystery. It is only a part of God's wisdom. It must be remembered that the name of the gift is a word of wisdom. It is a fragment of the total wisdom of God. As a word is a fragment of the sentence, we receive a fragment of his wisdom. This means the word of wisdom is a part and a portion of the omniscience of God, of the all-knowing of God. It's a part, it's a word of his mind, of the all-knowing God. God is all wise. He knows all the future. When he conveys to the church through one of his servants something he is going to do, he has made that person wise in that one matter only. However, that individual is not a wise concerning all things. So God can make a person wise and one doesn't mean that they're wise in all things. When God gives you wisdom, he gives you wisdom for that particular part. It's not natural wisdom. The word of wisdom often is confused with natural human wisdom, the kind that we use everyday life. But this is not a spiritual gift of the Holy Spirit, the natural wisdom we use in everyday life, right? In fact, I think I said it in one of my classes, right? Now, look, here's another part of wisdom. In Scotland and in England, I know the same, obviously, I think in New Zealand. I don't know because I don't smoke. You ever seen the packet of cigarettes that says, smoking will kill you? Do they say that on the packet here? Do they say that on the packet, on the side of the packet here of cigarettes? Smoking will kill you, right? Because that's what they say in Scotland. Every packet of cigarettes says, smoking will kill you. That's knowledge. The wisdom would be not to partake. It's knowledge. That's all it is, it's knowledge. But wisdom steps into the realm to activate something that betters your life. And there's many people in our colleges across the nations with knowledge up to their eyeballs and can lack wisdom. And yet all the way through Proverbs, it talks about get wisdom, get understanding. Of what? Of spiritual things. Because that will enhance your life. It is not natural wisdom. At the beginning of Joshua's ministry, God told him, now watch this. At the beginning of Joshua's ministry, God told him the key to success would be to what? Lie and meditating on the word. Success would lie and meditating on the word of God. This kind of wisdom comes through the word of God for everyday life. And here's the scripture. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not depart from where? From your mouth. From your mouth. But you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. You can get wisdom from the Bible by meditating on the scriptures. That's what God is telling Joshua. You can make your way prosperous if you will meditate. And the word meditate means mutter. It means speak. Speak the word. Speak what I've said. Speak my promises. Wisdom comes from the word. Empowers you to activate things in your life that you normally couldn't do. Meditation of the word will bring wisdom. But we're still not talking about that wisdom. We're still talking about a supernatural wisdom that comes by the Spirit of God. But you can get wisdom from God's word for your life, to prosper your life. But when the Holy Spirit comes and reveals something about your future, it's supernatural endowment at that point in time. James 1:5 says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to liberally all without reproach, and it will be given him. The Bible says to one the word of wisdom. This infers that not everyone will have this manifestation. Now, everybody can have the wisdom of God, because if you will meditate on the word of God, speak the word of God in your life, speak the word of God over your family's life, you will operate in supernatural wisdom. It's still supernatural. But we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit that come upon you to give you that supernatural wisdom at that point in time. The word of wisdom is to be distinguished from general everyday wisdom. Now here's some examples and we're going to close. The Holy Spirit can convey the word of wisdom in many different ways. And that's what I really want to just give you for the next 5 minutes. I want to show you how it can come in different ways. Different ways. Here's one of the ways here. To Joseph, it was the interpreting of a dream. You need to read this in your own time, right? Genesis 41. Joseph was in prison, right? Joseph was in prison. Remember when he got imprisoned? Right, through Potiphar's wife, lying about him and stuff. And he gets imprisoned. But it's funny, wherever he went, he prospered. Because it said that God was with him. And the funny thing about Joseph is you never see him complaining. I never see anywhere in the scriptures about Joseph complaining. Whatever situation he's in. No wonder the enemy could not hold him in any situation because he wasn't a complainer. He's in prison. That was for free. He's in prison, and you've got the baker, and you've got the baker and the baker and the cupbearer, right? The baker and the cupbearer, and Joseph basically interprets their dreams. They both of them have dreams, right? That both of them have dreams, and Joseph interprets their dreams, right, and shows them their future. One was about to lose his head. The other one was about to be restored into the kingdom. Read the story, right? And look for, as we're teaching through these teachings, you start looking at all these different stories and start looking for the word of knowledge and start looking for the word of wisdom all through the Bible. But it came through interpretation of a dream. It wasn't somebody just prophesying and let's say the Lord about your future. No, this came through a dream. He dreamt. And I've had it in my own life. That's not my thing, is really dreaming. Just maybe the odd couple of times in my life that I've dreamt and God's gave me a dream and pre-warned me, probably maybe three or four times actually, when I think about it now, three or four times, he's gave me dreams, and in the dream, it's been a pre-warning about situations that was about to happen in my life. I dealt with most of them. I missed one of them and had a car accident. I had a dream that I had a car accident, and the next day I had the car accident. And you know, now I want to just put this out here. When this happens and God gives you dreams, the first thing you should do, especially if it's something in a dream that God's given you and you know it's God, because listen, when it's a dream from God, there's no fear. Let's just get that straight right now. Anything God does with you, there's no fear. He's empowering you to stop something from happening, or he's encouraging you, right? There's no fear. When God gives you a dream. Because even though it was a car accident, there was no fear. But what you should do, if it's something like God's revealing something like that to you, you should go straight into prayer, and you should take your authority that's in Christ Jesus, and you bind the foul works of darkness from planning and plotting against you, and command it to be stopped in Jesus' name. You take your authority. I've done that over the years. One time I didn't do it, and I actually had that accident in a car park. The night before I had the dream. So God will reveal the words of wisdom in dreams. He gives dreams. But Joseph had that ability to interpret dreams. Now you read the story. I'll just say this. When you read the story, when he was asked about dreams and whatever, and when we get into Daniel, it's the same thing. They always, hey, it's him. It's God. They never said, oh, here, I've got this gift. I can do it. You read the story. You've got to look for all of these things in these stories, right? It was always pointing to him. It was always pointing to God. It's his ability. It's him that endows me with this stuff. It's him that causes these things to happen through me. I just yield myself. That's what he was saying. It was by the Spirit of God coming upon Joseph. To Daniel, it was a vision by night, Daniel. And the vision by night is in Daniel 7, where it talks about, you remember the seven cows, lean, and the seven cows that was fat, and there was going to be a famine in Egypt. I mean, come on, listen to this. This, what I'm talking about just now, see, we read these stories like they're just little stories. This saved a nation. Do you hear what I'm saying? It saved the nation. Because Daniel basically was close to God and was excellent in the things of God, and basically he interprets those dreams, and the king came to him, oh, we hear you can tell. He says, no, I can't do anything. It's him. It's God. He kept pointing to God. I can do nothing. It's him. And Daniel interprets a dream, and not only does he interpret the dream and tell the king's visions, what the king's dreams had, he by the Spirit of God and the wisdom of God, shows him how to deal with it and save the nation. That was Joseph. Daniel. Where am I now? He sees the dream. That was Joseph, you're right. Daniel talks, the one that Daniel is about the kingdoms of this world, you know, the kingdoms, you know, all the different kingdoms, right? The Roman Empire, the Persian Empire. So God, in the dreams, Daniel could interpret those things and seen the different kingdoms and what was about to happen in the future. Through dreams, through words of wisdom. Statue, you know, the golden statue and all the different kingdoms. So there's many different dreams that Daniel had and also Joseph have. But what I'm trying to say is the word of wisdom can come in many different ways. It's not just in one way. And that's when you read Corinthians chapter 12 and it says there's different manifestations. There's diversities of manifestations. There's different ways that the gifts can operate in your life. It can be through dreams. It can be, you know, you hear somebody about a dream and just like, you know by the Spirit of God what the dream is. Ezekiel got caught away in the spirit for revelation. I mean, you read Ezekiel. Blows your mind. It blows your mind when you read about Ezekiel and you see how it says that you're caught by his hair and get caught up in the spirit, right? And God takes him through different situations and through walls. And then God shows him conversations that's going on in the city about these evil men. They're planning, they're plotting things. God is showing Ezekiel, but he's getting caught up in the spirit. Listen, here's the key word, getting caught up in the spirit, getting caught up in the spirit. He got caught up with the Spirit of God, and God takes him through walls and different cities and shows him different things that are happening in the city. Words of knowledge and words of wisdom. The Bible is a supernatural Bible. It's a supernatural kingdom, supernatural God. We are a supernatural people. So we have to keep studying these things and looking at these things and saying, God, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he never changes. He never changes, people. Last one. The Apostle John was in the Spirit. See, the Apostle John was in the Spirit. In the Spirit. There's a key. In the Spirit. On the Lord's Day. What is a Lord's Day? Lord's Day is every day. But he was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. And the total book of Revelation was revealed to him. Revelations 1 and 10. The book of Revelations was revealed to him. John is on the Isle of Patmos. He was exiled. In fact, many historians tell you they tried to kill him so many times and they couldn't kill him, right? All sorts of things. They couldn't do it. So they sent him to Isle of Patmos. He's in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Jesus appears to him. And Jesus starts downloading things to him by the Spirit of God. And Jesus starts to show him the churches in different parts. Like Ephesus and Pergamon. All these different churches. Seven different churches. He reveals the state of the churches. The word of knowledge. He had no way of knowing what was going on in those churches. He had no idea. He's on Patmos at the... on an island, locked up. God reveals the state of the churches to him. And then on top of that, he then reveals the wisdom and gives him the answers to those things, that the churches, the state the church was in, and give him the wisdom and the answers to those things. On the Isle of Patmos, sees what's happening within the churches in a vision. So what are we saying tonight? There's no one particular way. We can't lock it down to one particular way. There's many ways. Dreams, visions, words of wisdom. There's different manifestations of the Spirit of God, and it's as he, how he purposes it, how he wills it to happen. God is a creative God. He's creative. We don't lock God down and we try to do things certain ways. No, here we are, God. So let me close in this. Seek him, not the gifts. He is the giver of the gifts. But I know, as you worship your King and you love him and you spend time with him and you pray and you build a relationship with him, he desires more than you do to operate in these things.